Remember that in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Of course, the uttermost part of the earth in Acts turns out to be Rome. And of course, this is not a commandment. It is a prediction. They will receive power and they will be witnesses unto the Lord Jesus. I know it's preached differently. I can't help it what somebody else preaches, but you just take a look. There are two predictive futures there, not just one followed by a future commandment. I understand that people can preach what they want, and they do, unfortunately. By the time we come to Acts 11, the gospel has already spread throughout Jerusalem, throughout Judea, throughout Samaria, and had now begun spreading in Gentile areas. This is consistent with what Jesus had predicted. In Acts 11:19-30, we are dealing with the establishment and ministry of the church in Antioch. As a result of persecution following Stephen's death, some believers scattered to Phoenicia, to Cyprus, and to Antioch, proclaiming the gospel, but only to Jews. Others from Cyprus and Cyrene proclaimed the gospel in Antioch to Gentiles, resulting in the salvation of many. Upon hearing this news, the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas, a good man who was filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. They sent him to Antioch, where he encouraged the believers to live for the Lord. Many were saved and help was needed. So Barnabas tracked Saul down in Tarsus and brought him to Antioch, where for an entire year they taught the believers, who were the first ones known as Christians. Some prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, one of whom was Agabus, who prophesied that there would be a famine throughout the world. This famine occurred during the reign of Claudius Caesar. So the church in Antioch determined to send relief to the believers in Jerusalem, and they did it through Barnabas and Saul. Let's look at the text of Acts 11:19-30, which says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Well, let's go back into verse 19 and begin to work our way through this text so that we have a good understanding of what God has for us this morning. In case you are not used to being here, we are working our way verse by verse through the book of Acts. And so we do not just preach topically. We go by verse by verse in this church, believing that that's the word of God and that that's what our people need to understand and put into practice. Verse 19 indicates that some of those scattered traveled to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, but limited their proclamation of the gospel message to Jews. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now continues the narrative and is understood in the sense of so or then. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English text. It sets up a contrast between verses 19 and 20. Had it been translated, it would have read on the one hand, and there would have been, at the beginning of verse 20, would then have been understood in the sense of, but on the other hand, they which were scattered abroad is the ones who were scattered. Upon the persecution that arose about Stephen shows the reason for their having been scattered and is understood in the sense of because of or as a result of the oppression, of the affliction, or of the tribulation which came about or developed against Stephen. In Acts 7, Stephen became the first martyr for the sake of the gospel when he was stoned to death. It's interesting that God used that episode, though it was a little hard on Stephen, except that he got to go to heaven. You know, that wasn't too bad. God used that to send believers all over the area so that they would proclaim the gospel. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch is that they came or went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Phoenicia is modern Lebanon. It's also known as Phoenicia. It is a narrow stretch of land bordering the northeast end of the Mediterranean Sea in which the towns of Tyre and Sidon were located. Cyprus is an island in the northeast area of the Mediterranean Sea. And Antioch was the largest city in the Roman province known as Syria. Now, this is not the country of Syria. When the Romans drew things up, they named a province that included all of Israel and territory north and west of Israel as Syria, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only, is proclaiming the word to no one except only to Jews. The word, of course, is the gospel message. Although, according to verse 20, some limited their proclamation of Christ to Jews, some who were from the island of Cyprus and Cyrene, a city in northern Africa, proclaimed Christ to Greeks, that is, to Gentiles. Verse 20 is set in contrast then to verse number 19. And we read in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And is used as showing, or understood as showing, a mild contrast in the sense of but. It's in contrast to some that were preaching only to Jews. Some of them were refers to men who were scattered as the result of the persecution against Stephen. They were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, suggests that Cyprus and Cyrene were where they used to live, which is such ones who, and refers to the men of Cyprus and Cyrene, when they were come to Antioch, is literally having entered Antioch. And it's been translated as showing time, according to Josephus. Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Only Rome and Alexandria in Egypt were larger. Now, Antioch is located about 300 miles north of Jerusalem. The tense of spake indicates continuing or repeated action in past time, and it's understood in the sense of we're speaking. It's an ongoing thing in the past. Unto the Grecians is unto the Hellenists, although Hellenists or Grecians was used of Greek-speaking Israelites in Acts 6. In this context, it means Gentiles. It is in contrast to preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only in verse 19. Preaching the Lord Jesus is proclaiming the Lord Jesus. And of course, when you preach the Lord Jesus, you preach not only who he is, but what he represents and what he has done. Preaching is used in conjunction with spake, indicating continuing or repeated action occurring at the same time as the action of spake. It indicates the content of what they were speaking. It is used to show time or a fact in addition to spake. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while they were preaching or while they were proclaiming. If showing a fact in addition to spake, it's understood in the sense of and they were preaching or and they were proclaiming. The individual whom they were proclaiming or preaching was the Lord Jesus, and it indicates the content of their preaching or their proclamation. It's the same thing as the gospel message, that Jesus died on the cross in payment for the sins of all humanity, that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. That's the gospel message. That's the same thing as preaching the Lord Jesus. According to verse 21, many people were saved as a result of the proclamation of the gospel message. Now, we have people that go out and preach all kinds of things. We need to concentrate on being preachers of the gospel message as well as of the scriptures. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And we see here a principle that we need to follow. If we want the Lord to be with us and we want to achieve spiritual results, we must preach the Word of God. And when we preach the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit will produce the results that God wants to see. Of course, we want to see them too, but we can't make it happen. I know. I've got friends that try to make it happen. It doesn't happen the way God wants it. Let God do the application of the preaching. We share the gospel. We share the word of God. God is the one who does the work in the person's heart, bringing conviction wherever it's needed. And the hand of the Lord was with them, according to verse 21. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Don't you wonder how many a great number is? We don't have any way of knowing, do we? And introduces a continuation of the narrative. The hand of the Lord is the Lord's hand. The hand of the Lord suggests the Lord himself. It's a case of a part, meaning the hand, representing the whole, meaning the Lord. The Lord was with them. The Lord himself was with them. It indicates that the Lord empowered their witness. It wasn't their cleverness. It wasn't their stories. It was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were proclaiming, and the Lord empowered what they were doing. Them refers to those from Cyprus and Cyrene who were there to bear witness regarding the salvation provided by the Lord Jesus. They were in Antioch. The result of their witness was a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. A great number simply suggests numerous people. We have no way of knowing how many numerous is. Believed is used in conjunction with turned, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to turned. Believed suggests believed or trusted in the preaching regarding Jesus. In other words, numerous people believed the gospel message and turned unto the Lord means that they changed their minds and trusted the Lord, meaning Christ, as their personal Savior from sin and its consequences. As we move into verse 22, we see that news of many persons in Antioch being saved reached Jerusalem. And Barnabas was sent to Antioch. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. Isn't that an interesting way of phrasing it? Tidings, that's the good news of these things, of many people believing the gospel message and turning unto the Lord. This news came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. That's an interesting way of phrasing it. It means it came to the attention of the people in Jerusalem. As a result, they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. How was he going to get there? Airplane? Oh, no. Train? No, they didn't have those back then. Motorcycle? No, that'd been a nice way to travel, but that's not how he went. Bicycle? No, didn't have those either. You suppose he walked 300 miles? My guess is yes. How long has it been since you walked 300 miles on a trip? 10 years? I mean, total, cumulative. We don't walk that kind of distance, do we? They might walk 25 miles a day, but consider that. If you walk 25 miles a day, 300, that's a lot of 25-mile groups, isn't it? Suppose you might be a little tuckered out halfway there. I would be. I'm not used to walking 25 miles a day, and I'm not planning anything, by the way, to get used to it. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So he had a definite destination. He was sent by the group at Jerusalem, and he was exactly the man that God wanted to be sent there. Then transitions to the next thought in the sequence. Tidings came means simply the word was heard of these things, or about these things, or concerning these things. It's a reference to those from Cyprus and Cyrene who were proclaiming the gospel to the Hellenists or the Greeks, the Gentiles in Antioch. Unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem is in the ears of the church, the one in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, where they refers to the people in the church at Jerusalem, presumably the leaders in the church, and they sent out Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, is simply to go to Antioch. According to verse 23, after arriving in Antioch, Barnabas encouraged the believers to live for the Lord, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Sounds like that they would do this intentionally. Who was glad and exhorted them all, where who refers to Barnabas is who rejoiced and was urging or encouraging all. The tense of was glad indicates action completed in past time as a whole, whereas the tense of exhorted indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. Barnabas was repeatedly encouraging them. When he came, as well as and had seen, are used in conjunction with was glad, indicating time. And their action occurred before the action of was glad. It was these things that made him glad. What Barnabas had seen was the grace of God in saving a great number of people in Antioch. And what Barnabas was exhorting the believers in Antioch was that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. With purpose of heart is literally with the purpose of the heart. Purpose has something to do with planning in advance. They planned in advance. They planned, they resolved, they willed, or they purposed. And it suggests that they were devoted here. There suggests devotion to what they were going to do. The before purpose and again before heart in the Greek text suggests possession. And it indicates that each believer with his resolve in his own heart resolved that he would continue with the Lord. Now that's what our people in our churches need today too. They need to resolve with purpose and intent in their hearts to pursue after the Lord with everything they have, particularly in the study of, the application of, and the living in accordance with the Word of God. That they would cleave unto the Lord suggests to continue with the Lord, meaning with Jesus. In verse 24, Barnabas is described as a good man who was filled, that means controlled by, filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. He was controlled by the Holy Spirit because of his submission to God, and he was filled with faith. He had faith to believe what God was directing him to do. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. For is the word that's translating. Let me start that over. For is the translation of a word ordinarily translated because. And that's its use in this sentence. He is Barnabas. Because Barnabas was indicates continuing action in past time. It indicates that this is the way he always was. This is what Barnabas was like. He is described as a good man, as an individual with a high standard of worth and merit. He was what he should have been for the Lord. The term used for man here is the term for an adult male rather than the generic term for a human being. All of us men, we need to be like Barnabas. Ladies, it wouldn't hurt if you were like Barnabas also, would it? He was also full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. His life was characterized by the Holy Spirit who indwelled him. He possessed the fruit of the Spirit. It was produced in his life, and it was evident that his life was characterized by godliness. He was full of faith, suggested he had a firm commitment or devotion to the Lord. We need to be like that, don't we? How are we going to get like that? By studying the Word of God and submitting our hearts and minds to its teaching and asking God to help us to live out and out for Him in accordance with His will, and He'll produce that in our lives. And much people was added unto the Lord. Again, many people are getting saved in Antioch. It indicates the result of Barnabas' ministry in Antioch. Much people is a sufficient crowd. A crowd speaks of a relatively large number of people. Much is used in the sense of large or considerable, was added, suggests that they became a part of an already existing group of people. You see, God's program is the local church. And the local church in Antioch was thriving because of all these people being saved. They were added unto an existing group of people. Unto the Lord suggests that these people became believers in the Lord Jesus, thereby being saved from sin and its consequences. But you know, there's a problem. What do you do with all these babies? You just let them fend for themselves? Although many were saved, they were still spiritual babies and needed to be taught the Word of God. We must indeed preach the gospel message faithfully, but we must then instruct these new converts, these believers in the things of God. It's great to see people saved, but the Great Commission is not fulfilled completely with just preaching the gospel. And this is a major problem in our churches in our country, especially our independent Baptist churches. Our pastors are not instructing their new converts to observe all things that Christ taught the apostles. We need to preach the gospel, and we also need to teach the Bible to our people with the whole counsel of God, meaning with the entire Bible. This was a problem in Antioch. What are we going to do with all these spiritual infants? So God directed Barnabas to do something about it, and he did. As a result of many people being saved in verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus to find Saul. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Then denotes a transition in the narrative to the next thought in the sequence. Departed Barnabas as Barnabas went out to Tarsus is unto Tarsus. And of course, it indicates where Barnabas went. It's in Cilicia. If you happen to be familiar with the Mediterranean, consider where the northeast corner of the Mediterranean is. If you went south, you'd find Antioch. If you went west from the northeast corner, you'd find Tarsus. So he went. How'd he get there? I suspect he walked. I don't really know. Did he have a horse, a donkey, a wagon? We don't know. We don't need to know. We know that he went. If God wanted us to know how he got there, It had told us. So it doesn't matter how he got there. But he went to Tarsus for to seek Saul, to seek, to search for, to try to locate or to look for Saul. He didn't know where Saul was, but he found him. And it indicates Barnabas' purpose in going from Antioch to Tarsus. According to verse 26, after Barnabas found Saul, he brought him to Antioch where they taught the church. Taught. There are those guys out there that are in the ministry that say the teaching, that we should be preaching, not teaching. How come the Bible keeps talking about teaching? Maybe these guys ought to read the Bible a little closer. Taught the church, meaning the believers, for a whole year. Can you imagine being instructed by men of the character and quality of Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, as he's later known? Verse 26 also indicates that the believers in Antioch were the first ones called Christians. Now, we're used to that terminology, but people back then were not. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And when he had found him, where he is Barnabas and him is Saul, is having found him. When he had found is used in conjunction with brought, and it has been translated as showing time. Its action occurred, of course, before the action of brought, and it's understood in the sense of after he found him. He brought him unto Antioch, means that Barnabas brought Saul to Antioch. You suppose Saul came willingly? Well, of course he did. And it came to pass as simply, it happened. In the Greek text, that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people actually functions as the subject of came to pass and indicates the content of it. That a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people came to pass or happened. A whole year is a complete or an entire year and speaks of an extent of time throughout which they did this. They did not go elsewhere and minister to others throughout this entire year. Well, weren't there other people out there that needed to be saved in different places? Well, of course there were. But God sent them to Antioch. That's where they belonged, and that's where they were teaching these people. You can't go everywhere if you're in the Lord's service. God sends you to a particular place, and that's where you serve him. He knows how to get you to go somewhere else if he wants to, but you serve him faithfully, teaching the word of God, including the gospel message. They, meaning Barnabas and Saul, assembled themselves, means that they gathered, they came together, or they met with the church, suggests with the assembly or with the congregation. It means that they met with the church people. I wonder what they did for a youth program or for children's churches. I don't think they had those. You mean churches could exist without a fantastic youth program? Well, they do, and sometimes the fantastic youth programs gets the church into trouble. What about the nursery? Where do you suppose the mothers put their children? They probably held them on their laps or let them play on the floor. I'm not sure what they did with them, but you can bet they didn't have a fancy nursery, well-staffed with all kinds of people that need to be in the service. They taught much people. They assembled with the congregation. They taught a considerable crowd, a sufficient crowd, or a large crowd. These are the same terms we've seen previously in this passage. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And it indicates that They had not been referred to as Christians anywhere else or any time prior to this in Antioch. Now why would the crowd in town known them as Christians? Could it be that they were witnessing? Could it be that they were living godly lives compared to what they had previously? Probably had something to do with that. The disciples refers to the followers of Jesus. Were called suggests that they were named or identified as Christians. Indicates their association with Christ. When we go elsewhere and we're around a bunch of people, do they know the difference from us and the crowd? They need to. We need to live in such a way that even if we never mention a word about our beliefs, they'll see that our lives are different from what they're used to. They were called first to begin with, or for the first time in Antioch. The subject of prophets coming from Jerusalem to Antioch is introduced in verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And of course continues the narrative, but it takes it in a slightly different direction. In these days suggests sometime during the year in which Saul and Barnabas were together in Antioch teaching the people. Now why did these prophets show up at this point in time? Might it be that that's what God directed? Why not? Prophets came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Prophets came down or descended from Jerusalem to Antioch. And the reason they came down is that Jerusalem is a higher in elevation than the surrounding territories, including Antioch. Prophets are those who have the gift of prophecy. They have the spiritual gift of being able to receive divine revelation directly from God and to convey it to people. How many prophets came to Antioch from Jerusalem is not clear, but it is clear that there was more than one because prophets is plural. Do we have prophets today? No. The gift of prophecy ceased to be given when the New Testament was completed. What we have is the completed Word of God, and we don't need direct revelation from God today. We already have it. Those groups of people that think that they have the gift of prophecy or they have a prophet, they're mistaken. Maybe if they'd know their Bibles better, they'd realize that prophecy ceased to exist with the completion of the New Testament. In verse 28, Agabus prophesied that a great famine would occur throughout all the world. I wonder why. Well, I don't know. But God knew, and He allowed it, He directed it. And you suppose it was hard on some people? Well, sure it would be hard on some people. There might have been some people that were hungry and had nothing to eat. Did God allow this? Yes, He did. Does God allow disasters? Yes, He does. Doesn't make it easy to go through, but God allows them. And we need to learn that God is in control of absolutely everything. There stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And continues the narrative, there stood up is used in conjunction with signified, indicating a fact in addition to signified or time. And its action occurred slightly before the action of signified. It's been translated as showing a fact in addition to signified. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he arose or after he stood up. The place he stood up would have been in the assembly or congregation of the believers in Antioch. One of them named Agabus. We'll see him again in Acts later on. It indicates that one member from the group of prophets who had come to Jerusalem, to Antioch, and stood up had the name Agabus. Now, if any of you ladies are looking for a name for one of your new ones that's on the way, why, you might want to consider Agabus. You'll probably not have anybody else that'll get confused with him or with her, whichever one you choose. In the Greek text, one is a subject of signified. Signified simply means made known or indicated. By the Spirit is through the Spirit, a reference to God the Holy Spirit. Agabus' declaration was more than a mere prediction based on guesswork. Instead, it was a message conveyed to him via or by means of God the Holy Spirit, who is the intermediate agent in this prophecy, with the direct agent being God the Father. What Agabus prophesied is that there should be a great dearth. A dearth is a famine. And that this famine would be throughout all the world, meaning throughout all the inhabited earth, which to be sure and refers to the famine about which Agabus prophesied. It came to pass. It happened. It came about. It arose, or it developed in the days of Claudius Caesar, a Roman emperor. When this famine came, would have to be somewhere during the rule or reign of Claudius Caesar, who ruled the Roman Empire from AD 41 to 54. So this is a number of years after the crucifixion. As a result of this famine, according to verse 29, the believers in Antioch determined to send relief to the believers in Judea, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Then transitions to the thought of the narrative, to what happened next in the sequence of events. The disciples, every man, is literally of the disciples, each of them, not necessarily males, and treats the disciples as individuals rather than as a group. The disciples has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. They are believers and who are part of the church in Antioch according to his ability. Is just as, or to the degree that any or each one was prospered or was well off, and suggests to the degree any or each one had financial means. Some may have had no financial means. Some may have had lots of financial means. The ones with the means are the ones who did the giving. The ones who didn't have anything to give didn't have to give. Determined is decided. What each one decided was to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Relief is aid, support, or a contribution unto the brethren. Speaks of brothers or fellow believers which dwelt in Judea, who lived in Judea. According to verse 30, relief for the believers in Jerusalem was sent under the charge of Barnabas and Saul. So now they're going to leave Antioch temporarily and take this contribution to Judea, which they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, which refers to the disciples in the church in Antioch sending aid to the believers in Judea. Also suggests that they not only decided to send relief, but that they also followed through on their decision and actually sent their contribution. It might instead be understood in an emphatic sense as indeed, in fact, or certainly, which certainly they did, where they refers to the disciples in the church in Antioch. They sent aid to the believers in Judea and sent it to the elders, means that they sent their aid or their contribution to the pastors of various churches in Judea, in anticipation, of course, that the pastors would distribute it as needed to the people. They sent it by the hands of Barnabas and Saul, is literally through the hand of Barnabas and Saul. It indicates that Barnabas and Saul were the individuals responsible for delivering this aid or contribution to the elders of the churches in Judea. The believers in the congregation of Antioch would also have been the direct agents in sending this aid, and they did it through their representatives, Barnabas and Saul. We refer to this visit as the famine visit, and it appears to be the same visit to Jerusalem mentioned by Paul in Galatians 2, 1 through 10, which would mean that it is not the same visit as the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. Sometimes believers assume it's the same the two visits are actually one, but it's best to understand them as two separate and distinct visits. Galatians 2, 1 through 10 says, then 14 years after, this is presumably after his salvation, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily or secretly to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, meaning into the law, bondage to the law. You see, there were people that thought the Gentiles had to become Jews in order to become saved. Of course, that's what he's talking about there. That's not the case. I mean, it is the case, that's what he's talking about. But Gentiles did not have to become Jews and submit to the law in order to be saved. To whom we gave place by subjection, suggests to whom we did not submit, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Had they submitted to that kind of pressure that people had to become Jews in order to be saved, they would have adulterated the gospel message. But of those who seemed to be somewhat, those who were of reputation in the church at Jerusalem, likely a reference to Peter, James, and John, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. We need to remember that. You and I, as believers, though insignificant in the eyes of some folks, it doesn't matter to God. You're number one in line when it comes to you going to God. There's nobody that gets there ahead of you. God accepts no man's person. You're just as important in God's sight as the greatest Christian out there. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, and it means they did not provide instruction for Paul in addition to what Christ had already taught him. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. In other words, they saw that Paul was being sent, or Saul was being sent to the Gentiles, Peter was being sent to the Jews. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, meaning the Jews, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, another name for Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision, the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor the same which I also was forward to do. So here believers from Cyprus and Cyrene came to Antioch, and they proclaimed the gospel in Antioch, which was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, and many Gentiles were saved as a result. Barnabas was sent by the church in Jerusalem to Antioch, and many more were saved. Help was needed, so Barnabas went to Tarsus, where he found Saul and brought him back to Antioch, where they taught the believers for an entire year. The gospel was spreading beyond Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and these new converts needed instruction in the truths of Christianity to enable them to live for the Lord, just like believers today need to be taught the Bible in our churches so that they might live godly lives. Of course, this is preceding the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, which we will see beginning in chapter 13. Let's remember, in a church like ours, we need to preach the gospel, but we also need to feed the flock. Both are some things that we need to do as a church. And God equips us as pastors differently for different places where he's going to send us. And he equipped me just exactly the way he equipped me to be doing what he wants me to be doing. And that's what we need to have, is whatever God's equipped you to do, do it. But do it the way you're supposed to, biblically. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you that we have the privilege of studying the Word of God and of learning what we can about those believers in the New Testament era. Help us to be faithful in every aspect of our lives. Thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you that we can study this basic truths of the establishment of the church in Antioch. And help us, our Father, always to be biblical in our own local churches. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.